Well, hello. Welcome to episode 3 of the Embodied Sounds web series. My name is Joshua Miller, and I'm a musician, sound healer, and facilitator, looking specifically at how the intersection of sound and human wellness and environmental conservation all link together. And today I'm very excited to welcome my first sound healing teacher, a true champion of the movement based in Lisbon, Portugal. And his name is Bruno Teixeira. About 3 years ago, I had the pleasure of meeting Bruno at one of his concerts in the south of Portugal, and we instantly became friends. We started a project together called Nada Sangha, which translates to community through sound. And I'd like to start off with a quick video of our work together. This is from a visit we took to some of the beautiful caves in northern Portugal in the summer of 2018. So I hope you enjoy it. Great. I hope you enjoyed that. And without any further ado, I'd like to welcome Bruno on to today's broadcast. Hello, my brother Bruno. How's it going today?
Hello. Hello, dear Josh. So happy to be here with you. First of all, thank you for this invitation and for this opportunity to share with the rest of the world. Some little taste of our uncountable gem session moments of infinite good talking and also good music.
Brings back some good memories, yeah?
And the present, we still are friends and brothers. We still are keeping the energy.
So nice. Well, to prepare for today's conversation, I took the initiative to make myself some khichdi, since I know you're a big fan of Indian cooking and Ayurvedic wellness. And you've taught me so much about how to take care of myself that it's just a pleasure to get to welcome you and converse from different continents while we're both still in quarantine. Would you mind just telling everyone a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Who I am, I'm still on the path. What I do a lot of stuff. Since always, my mommy are always saying, you should focus. But there are so many things so tasty, like the flavors of Indian food. Then I had found that the best, it's not we focus in one taste, but we become competent, skillful to know how to combine them. And this could be heard like cooking conversation, but it's like a life conversation, and for sure it's a music conversation. Then I could focus in voice, I could focus in didgeridoo, handpan, bansuri. I could focus in many other things. But I'd find that a little flavor of each one bring a full dish of great pleasure and great nutritional capacity.
So nice, so nice. I know you're familiar with so many things, a multi-instrumentalist and sound and wellness practitioner, yoga teacher, and as you say, on the path, always a student. If you wouldn't mind just talking a little bit about how you got into this practice of sound healing and what that experience has helped you feel in your life.
Then from the beginning, when I born with this compulsion to communication, mixed with a full and intense curiosity about everything. In a more mature time, I start to look into myself, because it's part of the process. When we are children, we look to the world. And then when we face some moment in our lives, we start to look also to us as an inner world. And then all my search was to try to find some answers, mainly made of understanding and connection. That's why between a lot of doubts and wishes, what the path I should go, I like maths, I like literature, I like all the arts, I started by anthropology, that search. And as Melanie Klein writes, in a very clever and wise way, she said, if someone don't know or don't understand society, he have the tendency in vocational mode to go for sociology or other studies that will feed that emptiness or that anger. If someone don't understand himself and the other, there are this tendency to go to psychology. As I found myself between both, as Melanie Klein also said, when we don't understand one thing or the other, or we feel a little bit confused and lost between inner world and outside world, we have the tendency to go to something like anthropology. And that's one way of I grab this and to put it some orientation, to choose some path of inner communication and outside communication. That anthropology path and search easily and in a quite surprising way at my 20s, and I will do 43 next Friday. Yay! easily and surprisingly got the yoga and meditation path, and for me was a big surprise, because as I had said in the moment, finally I find some way of thinking with my foot, because in university I was getting a lot of perspectives and answers, but I was feeling like a mushroom. My head was full of ideas and theories, and I got this connection with my body, and yoga and meditation in the beginning teach me how to I think and feel as a whole, especially in a grounding way with my feet. And since that, I see myself mainly as a human development teacher through yoga meditation, and to go deeper in that understanding and that capacity as a teacher, I feel the necessity to dive into the subtle anatomy of human being, to the energetic, bioenergetic physiology, because the formation that I had until that period don't satisfy my curiosity and don't give me safe bases and practical capacity to understand the five elements understanding of the world and how energy behave between everything and in everything. Then I had find someone very special in my life that I keep this beautiful friendship, the person that I call Master, Balkrishna. It was a quite unique encounter until nowadays, and he became my meditation teacher, and because he's someone that had touched my heart, I want to spend time with him in one way or another. He's a full wise person, and I decided to initiate my traditional Chinese studies. I got deeper, mainly motivated for the understanding of this subtle and bioenergetic field of the human being, nature, and the universe. And more or less in the same time, Ayurveda start to appear as something completely associated or non-dissociated from yoga. But until that time, I don't have that idea. No one had said me that yoga and Ayurveda were like brothers, or even in a more traditional perspective, that yoga, it's a branch, a part of Ayurveda. And in a very simple way, we could say that without help, mental, physical help, emotional help, mental help, it's quite difficult or impossible to we go to major developments, and yoga, most of all, it's to go up in an inner way. It's to go further in a closer way. It's a paradox, very beautiful and tasty, like Indian food. without a good base of health, it's quite difficult or impossible to build something above of that. If we can talk in this language of building, mm-hmm. because in fact yoga, it's more taking the clothes than putting. It's more taking the building over and getting that naked state of the soul, the more natural and simple, than to create more things. And but that's the issues of language, and because of the issues of language, music had grown in a very unexpected way. I found music through mouth harp. It was my first connection with instruments, taking over that percussion experience randomly. But that was my first instrument, and that was something that catch me in my 16 years old. But the mouth harp, after two summers, it broke. And I got like, where I can get another mouth harp? I don't know. By my means, I could not found another mouth harp in that period. And in the moment that I found yoga, 1 month difference, I meet didgeridoo. And suddenly, because I got really in a full, intense, completely diving in yoga, almost obsessive in the beginning, I forget everything. I remembered 6, sometimes 8 hours of sadhana.
Wow.
In the beginning, I was really of practice in the mat. My first teacher was, in a good way, a little crazy, because he was always challenging the illusion of limitation. And his challenge, for example, go to invite us to stand up in 1 leg 3.5 hours, then compensate 3.5 hours in the other leg. This is the kind of craziness. And for do that, you have to face your identity, because it's very easy, like in here, in this conversation, in a philosophical way, we say, oh, I'm not the leg. But if you stand up 3.5 hours in 1 leg, that will not be intellectual. Or you rest deeply and you give completely yourself to that resting mode, and your leg burns, your thoughts burn, everything burns, you feel all emotions, you want to quit millions of times. But something more than you and my crazy teacher, don't give up, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. And the mantra yoga, the feeding of the new food thoughts, and the believing, the bhakti yoga of that trusting, and that put Hatha yoga in other level. And also jnana yoga, the more logical and rational part that holds half of you, saying, I'm not the leg. Why she's trying to dominate me? But the other half of your brain, it's saying, give up, this is a crazy. I'm not feeling okay. But then mantra with emotion and hava, the believing, the feeling, the fulfilling all those doubts, and getting that beautiful and light and peaceful experience after 7 hours of challenging Alpha View and Alpha View. And that was my beginning in yoga. And in the same time, didgeridoo also grow up in a similar way. I have this tendency of being intense, not very focused in a continuous way, but I never give up. That's why 23 years of didgeridoo, I'm not the best. That's not my goal. I'm not the best in anything. I just want to feel the best of me between everything. And I feel quite comfortable with that idea. And just to finish this introduction, because it's so difficult to talk about as, especially when I have an orchestrated random schizophrenic experience with so many of me, but they are all orchestrated. They are all friends, and I think quite well tuned between themselves. I don't know if this is a personal perspective of me. I'm quite happy with myself in this moment. And I said this in a very simple way, an humble way, but I feel quite comfortable, quite confident. And music grow up more than everything, because it was the language without words, without concepts. And words have a full power in many ways and feels, but there are some moments that if you want to go into the silence, with words we can do it talking by the heart. We could touch the silence. Poetry do that, but talking like the heart, it's poetic, it's pure poetry. But music grabs you in a very transcendental way, because it goes behind in an inner way and an out way, out of the conceptualization of the clothes of the words. Because when I say, for example, Lisbon, it's not in my mouth. Full Lisbon in here. The line, the castle. It's not here. It's like a flash, you know? Something that points to something. But the way, the sound, as I say Lisbon, it's quite real. Could be symbolic, but it's real. Lisbon. Lisbon. Owen. Ainoan. It's sound. It's real. It don't mean nothing unless the energy that I'm putting in this sound. Of course, if this sound of my voice is have this architecture of language and symbolic things, plus the emotion, my full truth in what I'm saying, something magical happens in communication field. And but music do it that so directly. Until now, I had identified if some extraterrestrial person, and we don't need to go to this kind of idea, because the little that I have traveled to the world, it was my smile, and you know it, because you are addicted to traveling.
It's true, yes.
Music, and our inner peaceful state that really touch people for equal. We could say that these are universal language. If you smile, even animals will understand. Plants will understand. An extraterrestrial, I think he will understand. You are not expressing tension, aggressivity. If you play and you are in tune, and if you play like you are talking in a friendly way, because you can play as a fighter, aggressive, no? With music express a lot of things. But we use music to express the best of our humanity. Something very special behind words happen. I think the great magical, it's when you sing pure sound, or I have a special kind of fetish with mantras. And I think it's not a personal just perspective, because mantras having the technology of the Sanskrit, that we could have a webcast just about Sanskrit.
Totally.
But talking about the Sanskrit, it's called, one of the translations of Sanskrit, it's the God language. And it was not created to express, give me an apple, or I love you, or get out of here. Sanskrit had come in for the ancient rishis, yogis of the mountain, the caves, the forests, that in deeply meditation, they had hear and feel the inner sounds. And by collecting them, they have built the Sanskrit alphabet. And they put it like a resonance sound expression of nature, not inner or out, just nature. Because inner or out, you are putting this in a dual perspective. But if you don't see two, but you see the whole, then you will perceive the manifestations of the whole. And Sanskrit, it's nowadays studied, nowadays, many years ago, it's one of the main disciplines for quantum physics, for complex mathematics, for engineering, because it will teach and rebuild your brain, your inner capacities, as the language can do it. Language, it's a bridge of understanding and a way of nominating realities. If you don't understand nothing, something, you will not call it nothing. But if you perceive something, you will need, appears the necessity of having a word or a sound to you relate with that in a communication way. And as I told you, I'm curious about everything and nothing. And language, I love language. I have studied 4 years Latin, 4 years German. I don't speak German because I don't practice, but I got some intuitive notions, French, Portuguese, Italian, it's quite close, Spanish. And I'm not talking in a perfect linguistic mode. I'm talking about moods, feelings, the taste, the flavor. And when I reach Sanskrit, I feel that it touched me as any language have done until now. And I feel that Sanskrit could touch reality as few language could do it. And this is a very ignorant perspective, because I'm not a specialist. I'm just an spectator. But from my point of view, that's what I feel. Then when we talk about mantra, we are not talking about some bridge of language. It's more a bridge of understanding, because it holds so many things, and it's one of the fewest, taking into account my ignorance, but for what I know, it's the unique language that means what it is. I'm talking maybe Chinese, especially old Chinese, keep that structure too, because of the characters. The geometrical way of writing the Sanskrit letters, the meaning of each word, the meaning of each vocal and consonant, and I'm not talking just in a symbolic way. It is what it is. It's a perfect reflex of inner realities, and that's why, like a good mirror or a good glass, it will allow us to perceive in a more accurate way what we are perceiving through them, or in that. And of course, Sanskrit, it's the main hard body of the, an hardware of the software of mantra yoga, and all the expressions about kirtan, about bhajans, about the beaches, about the nada yoga, pure sound, sacred sound. And music had reached this by all of these paths until my life. It's an inner church, search. And an inner church also, where I feel praying with myself and the universe through ways that make me sense and make me feel in resonance with the best of me and everything. It's better you say something, just because
thank you. Keep so thank you, brother. Thank you so much.
I will keep this flow.
Yes, I know we could talk for hours like we usually we do and have many times in our lives together. You know, I feel like to describe a little bit of my experience meeting you, you know, of what that felt like, it was really the first time that I went to a sound bath or a sound healing concert, sound meditation experience, so many different ways to describe it. And it was definitely a night of my life that completely changed the course of the rest of my life. And I feel like the best way to describe it was really just being put in that very vulnerable space of needing to let go of my mind's need to control the experience and just trust that I was going to be guided in the direction that I needed to go in at that time. That was a very difficult thing to do. And we talk about this kind of difference between control and trust a lot, you and me, over the years. And I'm curious if you want to share something specifically about why it's so important to trust, you know, as we navigate life's challenges, and how maybe music has been a teacher in that. Is there something that you feel in your body or experience in your mind when you are getting lost into that kind of trance and meditative state that comes through playing didgeridoo, handpan, you know, all of the instruments that you play, and mantra in Sanskrit? Like, when you feel that oneness, how what is that like, and you know, how has that helped you go forward over these 43 years, you say, next week?
Today.
I feel like you're a 25-year-old always. But
in a dual perspective, we could put it like control and trust. And somehow we have to pass for this illusory duality, and it looks like a conflict or a choice: should I control or should I trust? And I give you the example of the car, and life is like that, your body is like that. You have to do it both, but in the right moment, because if you want to go further, you will not hold the brake of the foot or the handbrake. No, it's the brake that you call, no?
Yeah, the brake.
You want to move, and you will put it the brake. No, you want to move, you put it the foot in accelerator, and you move the box with the velocities options. And also that you have to control more velocity, less velocity. But this word control, especially in Occidental perspective, had reached COVID-19. Imagine the craziness. In my perspective, all of us, this is quite craziness. Don't believe it. Open your eyes and just see it by yourself. But that's another webcast. But we are in a dangerous times, my friend, by excess of controlling, craziness, something behind this worldwide situation. Normally it's controlled in a manicomium, but now these crazy ideas have been spread all over the world, and we are all in a really worldwide manicomium, whatever. And it's because of that we have to trust even more. we are in times that we really need to trust. And to take the control of what? Your life. Okay, but let's go to the poetical and more philosophical aspect. We don't go into political issues and to...
That's a good point. That are a little bit fragile
and maybe too soon and not of this moment. Then, instead of this dichotomy of control and trusting, I will choose one non-dual word, management. Okay? I try to see me as a manager of myself and of the projects that I embrace. And that mood puts me in a leadership perspective, being a leader, first of all, of myself. That's a daily life challenge. If I put me in a controller mode, I will become into a very rigid and dictatorial mood, inflexible and less compassive mood, less empathic mood. If I put me in just trusting God, help me, make my life happy, I will put myself in a stupid sense condition. I have a big heart, but I'm getting away of the responsibility of making my own part, and I will always expecting that some miracle happens or the universe will feed me like a baby in a spiritual balance and healthy way. That's childhood, just to trust this way. The wise way, it's to manage. You have to trust, and trust in many ways, but the root of trusting, it's in the heart. And you have to control, like when you are driving. And talking about music, if I don't control the BPM, the rhythm, the velocity, if I don't take some control of the pitch and the tuning of the instruments, the manutention, even the instruments, the right position of the instruments for when you are going to play, you had control, the stands, the hardware, you have controlled the right position, your where are you standing, how the didgeridoo in the stand are perfect in your mouth, and you know, I play with the foot, the mouth, and the hands, and sometimes with the elbow. I like this full body capacity of playing. It's a kind of yoga, a lot of coordination.
Let's talk about that coordination. You know, you mentioned before those different maybe voices in your mind that have an idea, but then immediately say, no, I can't do that, right? We always have that check and balance system. When you're playing and you have the foot, the hand, maybe the elbow doing something different, do you have time to doubt yourself? Do you have time to say, no, I can't do that? Or do you just have to do it? And how has that practice, you know, of playing, you know, helped you, you know, in your life?
Okay. In here, we reach the importance of the Dinacharya through Yoga and Ayurveda, the way as you manage your days between your discipline, the way as you organize yourself, the way as you put it in healthy habits that will quickly become unhealthy if you get stuck all of life in those. A healthy habit, it's always in mutation. Okay, I get it quite good in here. Like, healthy habit of playing in patterns of two. If you get that healthy habit, okay, challenge yourself to pattern of three. Then you go to some uncomfortable area, and I'm talking about life, habits, capacities. Once you get it really comfortable in 3, 4, 5, then pass to another challenge. Then you will not stuck in the habit. Then what I am talking, it's very important, the practice, and in a sacred way, that it's called sadhana. Sadhana, most of people don't know where this beautiful Sanskrit word had born or was originated. And sadhana came from the military ancient Indian areas, especially for the elbow. Okay? And one of the meanings, because Sanskrit is so rich, depending the level, the context between earth and heaven, it's a multidimensional language. One of the meanings, it's the right way to the goal. It's the right way to the goal. And then, if you bring the sadhana, the yoga sadhana, the meditation sadhana, that mainly it's bringing your best to each moment, to each day, thinking what is my priority now, om. What is now going to pee, because my bladder is full. Okay, you go directly and you do it. It's very practical. I'm starving. Okay, you go to make your food. I need that, or this is good for me, but I'm creating resistance. Let's face it like a sadhana, in a very practical issues. I have to do this. I don't want to do this, but it's necessary. It's what I should make. It's my professional responsibility. It's my social responsibility. It's my existential responsibility. Do it like a sadhana, direct to the goal. And then if you create this sadhana dinacharya, this sacred practice of going direct to the goal, to a good disciplinate day, and we have to re-educate in biorhythmical, wake up that hour to eat your breakfast, or first you make your meditation, or whatever. That's my perspective. For many people, it could be another kind of organizing themselves, so taking care of the kids, or taking care of dad, going to work, and then lunch, and papa. After some times, you will be that you will create a memory, and the memory will demand you that kind of food, yoga, meditation at that hour, shower at that hour, going to run or going to catch something. And then you create this base. Music, it's like this too. We prepare the best of us to some moment, and then in the moment you can get out of, in a freely way, of that habit and just flow. And that's where Bhakti Yoga enters. Unless you will become a controller, and you will do it that so perfect that it becomes a non-living thing. Life, it's so organized and it's so chaotic. It's a beautiful poetic paradox of order and chaos. And part of we should have this viveka, this perception of where are the areas or the aspects in my life or in me as a musician, in my relationship with the instruments that are weak. Then I go there and I empower myself in that relationship. And then I forget it. Okay, now I feel comfortable with this. Now I can just fly or flow. In reality, what you ask me, I feel a little bit of everything. Because if in that day I don't have sleep well, and you know that I have chronic issues of spine and sometimes I have privation of sleep. You know that I'm between many things and many people, and sometimes emotional pressure and things are quite challenged to me as an empathic and sensitive person. I'm a warrior, I'm strong in my spirit, but this body are quite fragile, and my heart, as it is sensitive, also feels things in a very intense and deep way. And there are sometimes that life challenge me and I'm not so strong or so balanced. And in that moment, I have to go for the security mode to do it in a more automatic way. And music, no one improvises from nothing. You improvise from a background of memories. If you have a lot of memories, you can improvise in a more freely and amazing way if you are tuned with the best of yourself and the universe, because there are this part that we could explain many times that I'm channeling something more than me in a more mystical or new age language. I'm being conducted, or I'm being it's not me, it's something more than me that is playing this instrument. If you are tired, full energy, and with the empty stomach and full blend, you will not have inner conditions to resonate with the universe. But if you have sleep well, your stomach, it's happy. And your blood, it's full of good food and energy. And your blend, it's empty. Then you are ready for the now full power, like a car with full oil, full gas, and good manutention. Is ready for the best of his performance. And then sometimes when I'm in that best capacity, I could drive in my best, I could play in my best. Sometimes if I'm not in that best capacity. I have some inner fight or tensions and doubts come, should I play that? Because, you know, I like to improvise. And there are moments that I don't know, it's not me. It's something more than me that is playing. And I don't know how I know it, but I know that I have to go to that instrument and I don't know what I will do there, but something happens. And I'm like as Jean-Paul Sartre and I, a committed spectator. I'm a spectator, but I'm committed with that. I'm full committed with that. But I don't feel that is me that is doing that. And what was my part in that? Sleeping well, eating well, making good digestion, taking care of me previously, get comfortable in the instruments and that relationship, and then in the moment, it's that trust works. Mm-hmm. Because I had control previously in a non-controller way, but in a disciplined way, the feel, the conditions for like an inner agriculture, good land, water, light, conditions, how I will control the flower or the fruit. It happens. And the agriculture just smiled and it's a committed spectator. Like, wow, so beautiful. The flower, it's happening. He don't flower himself. He just create the condition. Hmm. This is management.
Nice. And thank you. Thank you. I was just thinking while you were speaking, you know, right now, so many people are being asked to stay at home for way more time than ever before. And I really feel for people. I've been talking about this with a lot of friends, artists, yogis, practitioners of different modalities who at some point in their life have already built themselves a practice to develop that sadhana that you were describing. And I'm curious, you know, if you could speak to someone now who maybe doesn't have a good practice in their life, what's one way to get started, you know, doing that so that we can use this time at home to not seem so crazy and always reading the news and getting bombarded with such difficult, you know, updates. Can you share some from maybe when you were first learning yoga, first learning music, meditation? Like, how did you begin that experience? And would love to hear that answer.
When we born to something, it's better we have a mommy. Then, for sure, my first advice, try to find a good teacher.
Nice. Very important.
With or someone that the person feel trust. And this could give another webcast, how to identify the trustable teacher. If someone are seeing this and feel confidence and trust in my sharing, now worldwide allow us to connect it. You could search me and I could help anyone that could search me. Through yoga, Ayurveda, meditation, whatever, through anything. It's very easy and we could do it online sessions and I could give directly that that help. If someone feels this quite impersonal, or for many reasons don't feeling this empathy with my person or this resonance, then finding your street in your city or in the worldwide other teachers that could help you to give these so important first steps. Because if someone is born into something, it's better that they have a mummy. And in that sense, I see myself as a mummy. Mummy, it's not someone that puts someone in the world. It's, in this way, it's someone that takes care, that helps, that feeds, that have a nutritional, in many ways, an educational capacity of feeding the basis of that being that one day will grow and will be a man or a woman, but inside of them, like a male or female cocoon, there are a being. That's why we are called human being, human cocoon being. Then if we feed from child until the right moment this feel of our humanity, our inner being will blow like flowers and fruits. And for sure we need a good agriculture mummy to prepare the land and the field. Even those little steps, those little moments, because if you start in a good way, you will start in the best way. I work with adults and I love it in many ways, but it's a challenge in re-education mode, because they have to forget it, or not forget it, to don't give value to that memories that are so important and become the coins, the value of their lives. And if we take value from that and put value on other things, then those memories will vanish or will just become to a state of their own value that are not so important. And this is re-education. It's more a process of re-evaluation, not a process of forgetting. But forgetting in many things, it's not bad. It's a blessing. But in a mature and spiritual way, it's also a blessing you don't forget nothing. If you could really don't forget nothing of this world and this life and other lives, but you have the capacity of managing the value of those ancient memories, even when you were not what you perceive as you, that could become quite enlightenment.
That's so well said, so well said. And I think we'll transition there, unless there's anything else you would like to share.
That's a tricky and dangerous question.
I know. We could go all day, but maybe we'll have a part two in the future. I love your answer to, you know, for anyone looking to develop a practice right now, to find a teacher of something that it is you'd like to try out that's new.
If you want to learn to cook, don't go make experience to your kitchen. Find a teacher. There are good teachers that have record some cooking lessons. And then you could go to a good teacher in a book.
Yeah.
But behind the book and the video or whatever, it's a person, not an animal or a plant or a light being. It's a person. But many of them are dead. I have a lot of good teachers that they are dead.
Yeah.
And they keep still inspiring me. I identify good teachings. Wow, I want to keep this energy. I want to feed myself with this energy.
Well,
we are talking mainly of good reference, good teachers. Hmm. And that's a blessing.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, you have been such a wonderful teacher to me and a brother, so thank you. For that.
Next time, one of these days, we put it on the contrary, because you are quite unique too, Josh.
Well, thank you. Just to close out, we want to share with you a longer track and a video that we recorded by a lake in northern Portugal about two years ago. And it was on a very hot day, very new in my experience as being a percussionist, getting to play with, you know, amazing musicians over the last few years. So, you know, I carry so much gratitude for all of those times, especially now that we're not playing out in public so often. So is there anything you'd like to introduce about the video, Bruno, before I play?
That video. That for those that don't know, we wanted to record many times our amazing jam sessions, because me and Josh, we have a special connection as beings, human beings, brothers, and also in music. And many times we had moments and we reached that moment, oh, we should record this, why we don't record? Other times we try to record, but because technical problems, battery, whatever, we could not record. Then this was our first record in Alentejo, after we go flying in a balloon, very amazing, unique experience, and it was in the most hot day in my life in Portugal. 4 days in Uber, and we went in the interior even more hot, and then we were desperated with water, with something, because we are sweating and like we are being cooked alive. What's happening? And we find that lake, get lost in Alentejo. Many people think that we are naked. We are not naked. We could be naked. That's the problem. But we are not naked. We are just near the water, like two brothers, two friends, just jamming, just trusting. And it was a beautiful sharing. And that's a beautiful way of ending this this moment. Thank you, by the heart.
Nice.
You thank and all of you that are wherever in the world sharing these moments with us. Thank you a lot for your precious time. Thank you. And keep safe, not in your body or in your health. Take care of that dangerous things. Keep safe in your mind and perception. Open your eyes, also your heart. Trust in the universe. We will all die for sure. That's a happy thing. Then don't feed the fear of death or disease. Don't feed that. Just live each moment by the heart, full power. Loving and supporting all of you. Don't buy this fear. Don't buy it. That's another talking. Keep safe in your conscience, in your inner happiness, in your life state, because very soon we will die. Okay? like this interview. Okay.
See you soon. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. And thank you for speaking in English today. I know that's not your first language, so much appreciate that. And
sorry if I reinvented or create new words, but I'm an expert of them.
No, it's very good. It's very good. I really appreciate that. We'll put Portuguese titles on the video for...
Obrigado do fundo do coração.
Muito aqui. Obrigado.
Obrigado, meu amigo. Obrigado.
And now enjoy Narasanga by the lake. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and always joining us on the Embodied Sounds web series. So grateful to have talked with Bruno Teixeira. And you can like his page, Posh Buzz, and reach out to him for any guidance on meditation, yoga, building your sadhana practice into your life. He's also very well connected with a doctor from India who specializes in Ayurveda. So please give him a buzz or leave a comment in the Embodied Sounds chat and I will connect you. And be sure to sign up for our channels. Stay in touch and stay safe during quarantine. Thank you and have a great rest of your afternoon.